As I sit here and record this, it is Wednesday, November the 26th, 2025. I'm going to have this thing air on Friday, November the 28th, 2025. This podcast has been on the air since October 2nd, 2017. To put that into perspective, this is 393 episodes later. Now, these haven't aired in succession. There was a few week break that I took at the very beginning of 2018 when Audrey was born, but more or less, you've heard from me in some capacity every single week for the last 8+ years, which is crazy. And I had a thought about something that'd be cool to re-air and revisit today. Maybe let's check it out. Now, if I'm being honest, much of this podcast has been a blur as long as I've been doing it. I look back and I'm in the, I don't even know what I would call it, the administrative portal or the dashboard or whatever of Audio Boom, which is the publisher that does my podcast that I put out this to Apple Podcasts and Spotify and YouTube Music and all the various platforms, Pocket Cast and all these different things. And I'm clicking in, I'm on the dashboard of this particular episode that I'm gonna re-air here in a little bit. And it gives me what the top episodes are: Howard Schubiner, number 85, Steve Ozanich, number 14, Dan Buglio, number 70. One thing that has been a challenge over the last little while is what new physicians or doctors would people even want to hear from that are in this space? Different therapists, things like that. There's only so many recovery stories that I can air that will be of interest. So what I might ask, shoot me an email, eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com, or you can send me a direct message on YouTube. Or Instagram or Facebook. If there is and I say accessible because sometimes I get asked, hey, go and do an interview with this particular doctor, and then I'll find that doctor and this person is inaccessible. They're going to be too tough to track down, or they're probably not going to be interested in talking to little old me. But I would love to get some new blood on this show. To this point, the podcast has been listened to by over 500,000 people, which is amazing to be able to do that. I'm not a professional by any sense of the imagination. This is a hobby. That's really what this is. I love doing it. I love talking in a microphone. I wanted to get into broadcasting. That was the plan. That was the dream. All throughout college was getting into broadcasting, being able to parlay into television. And now I find myself as a middle of the road salesperson that does a podcast for fun and volunteer coaches youth sports. And I ride a motorcycle. And what else do I do? I ride a one wheel. So there's a lot of things that I do. This is just a big passion of mine. One of the criticisms that I've gotten before of interviews that I do, recovery stories that I do, because again, if for nothing else, this podcast is a recovery story. It is my personal diary, but it's also my personal recovery story. And sometimes people will come to me and they'll say that the thing that they don't like about the podcast is that it's filled with interviews of people that got over it really quickly. I beg to differ because this has been on for, hold on, let's... How many days ago was October 2nd, 2017? That was 2,977 days ago. I still get little niblets of things, problems of things. They're not chronic because I know that they're bullshit. Really, that's one of the biggest deciphering things about, for most people, acute pain versus chronic pain is can you successfully say, oh, this is bullshit? That symptom is complete and utter bullshit. And that's normally what it is. And that's usually what separates somebody from being able to get over it or not get over it. Do they take it seriously or are they not taking it very seriously? So this thought had me going back and thinking about, I knew I did a podcast that was kind of about this. March the 3rd, 2021, episode 165 called Hot Bats and the Relapse. That was the last really bad relapse I think that I had. And so I was going to record on any normal day on that day in particular, to which I did. And that morning when I was lifting, several hours before I was going to record, I had the worst of relapses. So what I thought would be cool today is going back and saying, again, this is almost 5 years old now at this point, but what turmoil was I going through and talking about on that day? And then the following week, episode 166, I was symptom free. So I went from the most debilitating, I'm army crawling, to the next week having no symptoms at all. And I thought it'd be cool to hear those maybe back to back within the confines of this single episode. So for the next like 33 or so minutes, it's going to be episode 165 and then episode 166, where you can hear about somebody in real time that is having a enormously painful relapse and then goes symptom free over the course of a week. I think it's pretty powerful stuff. Let's take a listen.
You've traveled the world to understand the criminal mind and conquer your fears. But a criminal is not complicated. And what you really fear is inside yourself. You fear your own power. You fear your anger, the drive to do great, terrible things. Now you must journey inwards. Already. Breathe. Fear most what they cannot see.
I was lifting. Usually on Tuesdays I do, it is my snatch day, snatch and accessory day. So I did my top snatch, 167 pounds, and then I did my back off sets, which were three sets of two at about 151 pounds, something like that. Went great. Went back and did my snatch pulls. That was at about 192 or so pounds. And I get to the second set, the third rep, and I pull the bar to my hips, and it just felt like someone just took a knife and injected it into my lower back. I dropped the bar. I fell like a ton of bricks in agony. And 35 minutes it took for me to be able to even get to my feet this morning, laying in the gym, and my daughter comes in because she heard the thud. I don't know if it was of the bar or if it was of me hitting the ground. Crawled over, text Brad Gutting, my buddy, who's been on this show before and runs the TMS group with me on Facebook. But yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this, you've been there. Right, you have some kind of an acute issue, or maybe you've been dealing with an issue for a long time. I actually have it's crazy that I got through the entire pandemic, and aside from the ankle sprain that I had last year, which, I mean, I collapsed on my ankle riding a skateboard, so I'm going to go ahead and call that an injury. I haven't had an acute, just crazy issue of just wild pain that was quite like this. In fact, I haven't had anything that has felt like this and... I mean, years easily, certainly since before the pandemic. And how, I don't know. One thing that I was thinking about is that it used to be every March, like clockwork. In fact, every March of 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and then I found Sarno's work in June of that year. Every single March, I would have some kind of injury. It could be a bicep injury. Usually it was like biceps, elbows, shoulders, knees, some of the joints, basically. I'd have some kind of an issue, and I'd go to the doctor, and he'd give me some painkillers or anti-inflammatories, and I'd rest it for, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, and I would be good. And then And then one of the first exercises that I did, mental exercises, after reading Sarno, after reading Healing Back Pain, was that I did an inventory of, here's a list of all of my injuries or issues. And then on the right side of that page, I wrote down, here's what was going on in my life. And I had found that every single March I would have an issue. And then I looked even deeper, and it was actually at the end of every quarter. So if you think March, June, September, and December of every year, with 100% accuracy, I would have some kind of an ailment. It could be a really bad illness. It could be, in fact, on this day 1 year ago, I had supposedly food poisoning that laid me up for a couple of days. So I guess that it is kind of a recurring theme. And I'm in sales, that's my day job. And so right now, here's some of the things that I'm looking at as the next few weeks build on. So this is the end of the quarter for my job. And, you know, that's sort of in sales, it's kind of like do or die for the quarters. And, you know, being able to get in everything that's necessary to hit my numbers. So that's, you know, one thing you put in there. My 35th birthday is at the end of this month. My 10-year wedding anniversary is in about a week and a half. It's Girl Scout cookie season right now, which doesn't inherently seem like it's stressful, but there are 55, I think, separate deliveries that we're doing. And some are 100 miles away. So like tomorrow, Zoe and I are doing about 300 miles of driving just to deliver these Girl Scout cookies. And in some cases, people are only ordering, you know, 3 or 4 boxes, but it's important for her to make the sale and then actually go and thank the customer. So we're doing those in person, you know, masked and everything like that. So there's that. And then right now, and I've talked about this before, I'm on the search for a motorcycle to replace the one that I have now. For the kind of things that I want to do, mine is quite the pig. I would love to lose 100 to 150 pounds of bike. So, you know, dealing with that. And all these things seem minor, right? But they're all a piece of life. And then when you sort of add them together and you stack them together and how you kind of think about them, and also just, you know, generally making it perfect. Getting an email yesterday that said that your theme music is offensive or that it's bad or whatever. It's just a lot. You know, my mom calling me and making critical remarks about, it seems like, pretty much everything. Lucy, our black lab, I took her out to play fetch on Sunday. And normally, might have even been Saturday, I think it was Sunday though. And normally what happens when we play fetch is that we go down to a park or something and it's on grass and it's on soft ground. I didn't have as much time. So Sunday we just did it out in the cul-de-sac. So I'm using the chucket and I'm launching this tennis ball and she's loving it. And then eventually she just laid down and I assumed that she was just pooped out, you know, tired. We played for 15 or 20 minutes. And then she's limping around a little bit later and I check her paws and 3 of her 4 paws had been rubbed completely raw, I'm assuming from the friction on the concrete. So just, you know, kind of one thing after the other. But the important part that I'm thinking about that really resonated. So I pick up the bar. My back just lights up. I fall down. And it only took a few seconds for me to recognize, okay, this is just another stupid TMS thing. And I actually started laughing about it because it is so absurd and it is so stupid. That doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. And it still hurts right now. I'm standing up. I've gotten a couple of walks today. I am at 8,000 steps on the dot, actually, just to get up and get moving. And I've done as much work stuff as I can possibly do. But sitting sucks and crossing my legs sucks. And so there's a lot of things that just kind of suck. And I know that, you know, the steps that have to come is I'm going to have to do some somatic experiencing and somatic tracking and just go there. And just do the thing, because that's what this is all, you know, that's what all this work and all this stuff is about. And I think that one of the greatest qualities that I have at this point in time is just the confidence in knowing that it's a bunch of bullshit. Yesterday, I was doing pulls at 200 and, what would that have been, 270 pounds. So why would 191 pounds, why would that cause a problem? Just like one of the first things that I thought about when I first read Dr. Sarno is that, you know, God, just a few months ago, you were throwing 185 pounds over your head and now you can't even pick up an empty 45 pound barbell. That's not logical, right? So the fact that yesterday could lift 270 plus, today can't lift 190 plus, doesn't really make any sense. That doesn't compute. And the one of the things that came up in Sarno's book, and I think it was in Adam Heller's book also, is that you read Or you think about that acute moment. What were you thinking about in the moments leading up to that? There was a few weeks ago where I was in this argument with this person I used to work with, and he was really fired up. Somebody had posted something about why are people criticizing the Texas governor over his response to what's going on in Texas with all the snowstorms and the thunderstorms and all that kind of stuff. And my comment to them was that he was literally on Fox last night talking about how the reason that all of these storms happened was because of the Democratic agenda of putting windmills and renewable energy around. So I had just said, maybe the reason that people are coming at your governor is because your governor went on TV on national TV last night and was making this a political thing when he should just be out, you know, working with, talking to, speaking on behalf of Texans. So that really pissed this ex-coworker of mine off. And he just started going off about all these things. He said that I had Facebook friends that were messaging him, telling him how much of a joke I was and all this kind of stuff. This is a grown adult, by the way, a grown man, or at least an almost man. And it's funny. I was right before I was doing that lift, I was thinking about him. I never actually took a chance to experience the anger and the fury about this person. But hey, maybe he's listening to this. And I don't think he is. But if he is, he sucks. But it is what it is. And we have those people in our life. But I was thinking about him just as I was lifting that bar. And so, again, this is all about anger and it's about rage. And that is what is being experienced. I need to go and actually experience that. And I have no doubt that this acute issue is going to go away. You know, Nicole Sachs always says she has the cure for chronic pain. She doesn't have the cure for human pain, right? This is human pain. This is acute. And, you know, on top of all the things that I had talked about earlier that are coming up in this month, I also have, I've been working on this weightlifting program. I'm in the final few weeks of it. And it's something I've been working on for all of 2020 or 2021 so far. And March 25th is the day I'm supposed to test all of these max lifts for all-time records that have stood for 3 years now. And in one case, 8 years now. So it's just an enormous amount of pressure on myself. My wife, you know, pointed that out too. Her just saying, you know, all the pressure I've been putting on myself lately. But also, you know, being able to provide a great podcast for people. And that's, you know, that's what I hope this is. And even though this is going to be a short episode and there's not necessarily, I guess, a resolution for a lot of people, but maybe there is. Maybe you're right now laying in bed because you feel like total haggard shit for whatever reason. And, you know, if this podcast can give you hope of any sense, it's just know that if you can actually go through and experience it, experience the pain, meaning like right now, as an example, it is my low back. And I've never been a low back pain guy, right? Mine was always upper back, mid back, neck, shoulders, you know, knees, all those sorts of different things. But never lower back. And I know a lot of people, it is their lower back, and that's the thing. But what I'm going to do later on today, after Zoe and I are going to sort Girl Scout cookies for all of our deliveries tomorrow, I'm going to hang out with Audrey a little bit, put Audrey to bed, eat dinner with family and all that kind of stuff. And then I need to actually, I'm probably going to read some pages of Sarno's book, because the 12 Daily Reminders, I'm probably going to read that. But maybe more than anything, just being able to lay there and put my intense focus in a quiet room right in that spot, that hot ass spot in the bottom of my back, and just allow myself to feel the intensity of that pain. And I do fully believe that in time, could happen right away, could happen in the next day or two, could happen overnight. Whenever it is that it happens, it's fine. Because ultimately I just know that this is it's a moment in time. It is going to pass. So that's what I have for you today, friends. I hope everybody is doing great. Looking forward to talking with you all soon. Again, if you have a great TMS story to tell, please reach out to me. Send me a DM, send me an email. I love hearing from everybody. That's going to be all for today. Take care. Last week I came on the podcast. I got, a ton of messages, actually, people supporting, you know, people saying, hang in there, you know, that kind of thing. So here's the deal. If you weren't listening last week, I always record this podcast on Tuesday. So I'm recording this on March 9th. And then, of course, it airs on Wednesday. Last Tuesday, I was doing snatch pulls for my daily weightlifting session. And I was trying to recall, that had to be the worst relapse, flare, whatever you want to call it, I have ever had. And I dropped the bar. I hit the ground. I was on the ground for 35 minutes. I could not get up. Anytime I moved, even just shifted my legs an inch or a couple of inches, it hurt so bad. Finally, make it to my feet. And it was, I mean, that hurt so bad. Recorded the podcast later on that day, and I talked about it. And going back and listening to it, certainly with hope, I mean, I knew what was going on, and I knew that it was kind of the same old big old bunch of bullshit that I talk about on this podcast and have been talking about on this podcast for almost 4 years now. And it was what it was. So normally I take my rest days on Thursday. Usually I'll work out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, take Thursday off, and then Friday is my big max out day. Since that occurred on Tuesday last week, I took a Wednesday off. So I missed one day, and then I was back at it on Thursday. Worked out Thursday, worked out Friday. I always take the weekends off, so I took the weekend off again. But then yesterday, went back and did the same weights that was in the program for this week, and I felt fine. So at this point in time, I am recovered. And it was the now this has actually happened before. This happened in the summer of 2019, and then it happened again. I want to say it was at the beginning of 2020, maybe. It was pre-pandemic. I know that, but same spot. And both of those times, in fact, the first time that that happened, which again was in the summer of 2019, my friend Carrie had a really similar thing happen a week or 2 weeks earlier. Same spot, same description, same kinds of movements, hurt even worse, made her feel worse. So I just, you know, she went to a chiropractor and got her prescription. And so I just did exactly the same thing as her. And, you know, a month and a half later, I was fine. But that is a lot of missed time. So at that time, what I did was I took a week off of completely doing anything. Just, you know, really no movement, didn't go on walks, just, you know, laid totally low. And then a week later, I would do extremely light exercise. And then 2 weeks later, a little bit more. 3 weeks later, a little bit more. 4 weeks later, a little bit more. And then week five, week six, I'm starting to rebuild and, you know, work back up. But overall, time lost, if you're in a weightlifting program, especially like I am right now, I'm in week 10 or 11 of a 13-week program, and to miss and fall behind by 6 to 8 weeks and then start from scratch, I mean, I don't want to play that game forever. I've got certain goals that I want to hit, certain things that I've been working towards for all of 2021 and actually most of 2020. And finally, I'm really getting in that stride. So that is the last thing that I want to do. Second time that it happened, I did exactly the same thing. I took a week completely off and then slowly built back over the course of 6 to 8 weeks. This time I said, fuck that. And I'm taking a day off. And then I was right back at it. And I'm doing, you know, I'm doing the weight that I would normally do. And it's felt tremendously empowering. So I thought that today I would treat this as a relapse blueprint. There are so many people, and I've posted over the last couple of days, and if you're not in the Facebook group, the Deleters of Pain is one, but I've actually posted more about the story and on Facebook. It's the TMS hyphen the mind body syndrome, and there's about 3,200 members, I think, at this point in time, and just sharing sort of how this experience has gone over the last few days. So again, Tuesday hit the ground. Wednesday, my daughter Zoe and I went out and delivered cookies. I drove 300 miles that day, and just, you know, it hurt. It hurt to get out of the car. It hurt to walk. I would meet, there'd be clients, people that I do business with, that I'd get out of the car and I'd be hunched over and I'd kind of slowly try and stand completely up. But I was just in agony over it. It sucked so bad. And all the while I'm like test riding motorcycles and I look like a goddamn fool and all that kind of stuff. So I've given this some thought over the last little while. And there's a portion of Steve Ozanich's book that really jumped out at me that I was thinking a lot about. There's a part in his book where he talks about this collision of the id, the ego, and the superego. Now, if you don't remember, the id is that only wants pleasure. It's impulse. It only wants the thing. You know, it's like it's a stubborn child living beneath the surface. And it's kind of where we think that a lot of this rage comes from, is in that id, because the id only wants things a certain way. It only wants pleasure, right? So, and then on the flip side of that, the exact opposite end, you have the superego, which is very righteous, always wanted to do the right thing. What is, you know, as if everybody is always watching you, how would you act to be portrayed in the best light, virtue signaling, all that kind of stuff. And in the middle, you have the ego, which is really trying to balance between the two. They're playing the referee, essentially. And so sort of a simplistic way that I thought about this, and one of the things that I've had a conundrum over the last month and a half, is about buying a new motorcycle, right? And I went and rode this really sexy Triumph Tiger 900 Rally Pro, way more expensive than I would ever want to pay for a motorcycle. But nevertheless, you know, it's fast, it's sleek, it looks awesome, it's high revving, it sounds like a absolute monster, it jets down the road, way different than what it is that I have now. You know, that's like the id side, right? And the superego in me is saying, you got something that works great right now. It does everything that you want it to do. I'm looking at it right now. It does everything you want it to do. It's never let you down. It's never had a mechanical problem. You can take it into the mountains. You can do off-road riding with it, all that kind of stuff. And then the ego is the one in the center that's, you know, again, playing referee between these two impulses, right? So this kind of stuff happens all the time. Somebody does something shitty to you and you want to be the id side of it and just unload on them. Could be your kid, could be your spouse, could be your friend, could be a customer of yours. You know, you want to just unload on them. That's what the id wants to do. It has these impulses, these no filter, violent, that kind of thing. But the superego in you is going to kill them with kindness, right? And the ego has to balance between the two. So that's one thing that really rang in my mind recently, is that collision course between the three, it's really between the two, with the ego playing the referee, but let's just call it the collision course between the three, the triple threat steel cage match, if you will. That intersection is in a lot of ways where pain resides, right? Because the more conflict that there is between those three, the more buried rage it is that you have. So maybe the motorcycle debate contributing to it. Certainly it was something that got me obsessed. And I know that when there's obsessive thinking for me, I know that I need to do TMS work and whatever, you know, whatever sort of appetizer it is that you want when we say TMS work, but certainly have to do something. Could be journaling, it could be meditation, it could be the thing I'm going to talk about in a couple of minutes. But in the past, if I've neglected on that, that's when I kind of start getting body pains or symptoms or a cold or something like that. And so I'd just been neglecting it. And 2 weeks ago on this podcast, I was talking about how I hadn't been doing any upkeep in my regular practice, and how I was almost sort of waiting for something to happen. And boom, then that happened. So so what I did, the solution, the blueprint, this is for me, and I think this actually could work with anybody. In fact, I did a coaching call on Friday, a client call. With somebody who had inquired, said, hey, I listened to the podcast and I need some help. Person was about my age. Our makeup and our symptoms and our story and the places we'd been and the surgery that we had done and all that kind of stuff was so similar that I took him on and I said, let's do a single session, which I offer. I'm not really in the business of doing continuous coaching calls. I feel like this is something where one, maybe two sessions, and there's nothing further of value that I think that you could get from working with somebody in a continuous capacity. Because the whole idea is like, you have the power to make these changes, and there's only so much of the same thing I can say to you. I mean, 167 podcast episodes in, some of the stuff that I talk about on here is a repeat from past episodes, but not everybody's been around for that long. So, I talk about this experience of like somatic tracking is sort of what I would refer to it as. I've actually called it the Stark Reactor, but it's kind of a blend of Alan Gordon and a blend of Adam Heller. It's far more in the Adam Heller ring. But what I did for every night, basically, since that happened, and especially more in the last like three nights, is go to bed a little bit earlier, and I would lay there, and usually like turn to my side, but I try and have it be a very quiet room and a dark room. But really I was just closing my eyes and I was visualizing, where's that buried anger or rage inside of me right now? And I don't need the story. I don't need what is causing it. I don't need the background. I don't need when it came from. I don't need where it came from. I just need to know that it's there, because all these symptoms and all these things we feel in our body, it really are unfelt emotion. And so feeling the emotion and experiencing the emotion is really the only way to get out of it. So this was especially true, I think it was two nights ago, which would have been Friday, or sorry, Sunday night. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm going through the session. I lay to my side. I close my eyes. I'm just visualizing that area of my like chest and solar plexus and sternum and kind of that just main torso. And I'm just with the absolute most attention that I can pay to it. And suddenly it starts to get very hot. And then it starts to have this swirling sensation. And then it starts to be burning. And then it's getting very uncomfortable. But I'm just allowing it to happen. And over and over in my head, I just keep saying, what emotion am I feeling right now? What am I feeling? What emotion is this? You know, kind of, and the same thing, I kept saying it in my head over and over, anger right now. What emotion am I feeling? Anger right now. What emotion is this? Anger. And the more that I said it, the hotter that internal feeling got. And I probably did this for 5 to 15 straight minutes, and it was getting more and more uncomfortable, more and more uncomfortable. It felt like panic attack is coming, 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 coming. And then eventually I fell asleep. I don't even remember. I didn't intentionally try to fall asleep. I just did. I got an amazing night of sleep. I got an 89 or a 90 out of 100 on my Fitbit sleep score, which was the best I'd gotten in a month. Well rested, 7.5 hours of total sleep time, which doesn't happen very often, maybe even 7 hours and 40 minutes of total sleep time. And I woke up yesterday, I felt awesome. And I, that's when I did my heavy snatch workout. I snatched 176 pounds. I did pulls at 100 and what did I do? Oh, two, it would have been about 208 pounds. And if you recall, it was about 185, 190 pounds that put me on the ground right away. So I did 210 yesterday, and I felt great. And I did it. And then today I did heavy bench. I'm down to singles. I'm testing that next week. I'm trying to go for a new PR on a personal record that has stood for 8 years, and I feel like I'm right there. 235 is my all-time best single. I did 231 today for 5 singles. So I did one at 231 and then step away for a minute or two and then do it again. Step away for a minute or two, come back and do it again. So I'm going to make that max attempt next week, which I'm looking forward to. So I did it again last night. I did the same thing right now. What am I feeling? And it was significantly less energy I could feel from two nights ago. And I'll do it again tonight. And I'm expecting again, even less energy to come up. And so it's just being able to be with it and be okay that it's there. Like, honestly, that is what I did. I mean, the first night that all this stuff occurred, that Tuesday, I made a list of all the things that I'm perhaps raging about just to try and shake some things loose. But, and this is different strokes for different folks, but guys, to be honest, like for me, I think I've come to terms with the fact that experiencing and doing that in a somatic way is really my special sauce for me personally. Maybe that's not for everybody. And one of the things that I do on these coaching calls is kind of listen to the story, get a good sense of what kind of a person they are, and make a prescription for them. Because maybe for some people, that somatic work is not the best, and maybe writing is the best, or maybe I feel a meditation program is the best, or maybe different sleep habits are the best. So it really depends on the person. But for me personally, that is where I feel like the most value is added. So what took me two previous times, 6 to 8 weeks to be able to recover from. This one I was back in a day, and now I consider myself at 100%. I don't even know what the weights are that I'm supposed to hit for this week. I know I have to snatch 180 pounds, I think, 182 pounds. And then I probably have to be able to clean and jerk about 255 or so, and then squat 310 for 5. So I've got things in front of me. It does not intimidate me. And I think that now, if something like that ever happens again, you know, these spells are supposed to last less and less time. And giving it way too much time and way too much attention in the past is something I'm not doing again. In this case, I knew right away, fuck it. This is not how I'm living. This is not what I'm doing. This is not what I'm spending my time on. I'm not taking another 6 to 8 week break because I just have too many things that I want to get done. So that's what I got for the podcast today. I hope that this helps you if you find yourself ever struggling or hitting a wall or a sudden relapse or something like that, because that is total bullshit. And I'm here to tell you, I'm living proof. I talk the talk every Wednesday, and I sure as shit walk the walk. So thanks so much for spending time with me today. Hope you enjoyed the new theme song, and I will talk to you all later.